Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
When does God say enough? Does his patience ever run out? Do his love and mercy ever come to an end? Well, these are tough questions, and they have hard answers. The Bible teaches us that it's all about our hearts. Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and we're in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, which was written to a people who had stiffened their necks against God. They wanted nothing to do with him, or his prophet, or his word. At what point will judgment be needed for people who rebel against God? And when is that discipline a good thing, even if it is extreme? So that hearts will turn back to God. That's what we'll find out today. Well, talk about what a good thing it is to turn back to God. Let's hear a few thoughts from you, our fellow listeners. Sue in Phoenix, Arizona wrote this encouragement. I have listened through the Bible for 13 years since I became a Christian. I am writing today to tell you, Steve, how very much I enjoy the letters you read from around the world. Well, thanks so much, Sue. The folks in other parts of the world humble me. So many hear the saving grace of our Lord while sitting on a dirt floor listening to a radio. They are truly being saved by the word of God that they hear in their own language across the airwaves across the world. Thank you for your part in the Great Commission and for including us in the process. Well, isn't that great? You know, I can't let that go without reading a few more right now. So let's go to a country literally around the world and hear from listeners of the Amharic broadcast. That's in the African country of Ethiopia, by the way. Ilias had this to share. I am a regular listener of your radio program. I found the meaning of growing in faith through this personal study of God's word. It is God's gift for us directly from heaven. I adore him in the highest. Another Amharic listener writes, I have gained so many spiritual values like love, peace, and patience from our Bible study together. It has shaped my life and changed my character. It has brought me from the worst life to a meaningful and sweet life in Christ. Another Amharic listener named Halley is also being blessed. He writes, Greetings in the name of the Lord, through the Bible, open the door for me to study the Word of God in depth. It has created a thirst in me about spiritual things. As I study his word with you, God has come to my heart and taught me so many secrets of his own. Wow, isn't that great? Let's pray now that God will teach each of us more of his precious and amazing secrets that we in turn want to share with the world. Bow your heads if you can. Father, thank you for giving us a glimpse of how your spirit and your word are impacting people around the world. Thank you too for your work in my heart and in the hearts of all those who hear and respond to your word. Teach us now what you want us to know. In your son's name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we come today to the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, I hope you have your Bible and we'll turn there. It'll make it more meaningful to you, and our notes will be of great value to you. Although in our notes we never go into a great deal of detail, that is, such as we attempt to do here. Our study is not a verse-by-verse attempt to study the Bible. However, it gets down to that, and sometimes it becomes a word-by-word. But all we are attempting to do is get the great message of the Word of God as we move along through it. And also, not only its interpretation, but its application today to our own hearts and lives. Now, as we come here to the 12th chapter, we are coming to a new section, actually, and from chapters 12 through 19, here we have a section that can be labeled, Judgment is Imminent, but Not Believed by the People. Ezekiel now is going to speak to the house of Israel that is in captivity. And they're not going to believe him because he's told that here. And this section is a very interesting section. The important thing was not the reception of the word, but the proclamation of the word. And this man Ezekiel is to make sure that he's giving the word of God. And we find here actually five times in this chapter, and probably I should point that out to you, it would help you to organize and get this chapter before you. In verse 1, he says, The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Then in verse 8, and in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, nice to get the word of God in the morning, by the way. Then verse 17, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and then verse 21, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and again, and finally, in verse 26, here in this chapter, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, five times in this chapter. Now, don't you get the impression that this man Ezekiel is trying to tell those people and trying to tell us today that he's giving the word of the Lord, and he's giving nothing short of that. Now, he is also told this, that he's not only to give the word of God, but he's told the ones to whom he's given it. Of course, he was warned of this before, but God keeps reminding him of it because he may get discouraged. You know, it's so easy to do that. Here's what we find in verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, and they see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Now, this is something that you will find that God said from the very beginning. You go back to, for instance, the 29th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Probably I should drop back there. Let me just lift out a verse there. In verse 4, he says here, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. In other words, they had their eyes closed and their ears stopped. And you'll find that not only did Ezekiel give this and confirm this truth, but you find Isaiah did, and I'll not turn to that passage, but you'll recall in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, Jeremiah also confirmed it, Jeremiah 5, 21, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, did that. And then you will find that the book of Acts closes with that type of a statement, and it's the last time that it occurs. And again, it's a question of these people with closed eyes and ears. I'm reading now Acts 28, verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, anyone that says today they can't believe, it's never mental. It's always of the will of the heart. They don't want to. The man that says, I have certain mental reservations, I have certain mental hurdles I can't get over. My friend, your mind is not that big to make even one little hurdle. The problem is never in the mind. The problem is the will. There's sin in your life. You don't want to turn to God. You don't want to believe Him. Israel is just a little miniature of the world. And I think we need to look at it like that in this book here, that the condition of Israel is the condition of the world. Israel was a little microcosm of the entire world. And this spirit of unbelief is abroad today. I was talking not long ago to a man. He's a college professor, very courteous, very polite, and he wanted me to know that he appreciated. He said, I've listened to you. I appreciate your ministry and your viewpoint and all that. But he says, you know, I have certain mental reservations. Well, I had to bite my tongue to keep from telling him. To begin with, he's assuming that he is so far intellectually ahead of me that I can't see it, but that he can. And that is assuming something he doesn't have. I know this man. He and I were in college together. When I was in college, I worked with a psychology professor, and I found out what my IQ was, and I found out what his was and the rest of the class. And I want to tell you something. His wasn't so good, by the way, but he has intellectual reservations. You know what his problem is? He is today having an affair with a former student of his in the class. He doesn't know that I know it. May I say to you, she's his intellectual problem, by the way. And that is quite a problem. Now, blindness in part has happened to Israel. And that's true of the world today. That's very important to see here. And that's the reason that we wanted to emphasize that at this particular point. Now, this man, because of the attitude, he's not only going to give them a parable, he's going to enact the parable out. And this is a good one. You know, this man, Ezekiel, he's not only, in my judgment, a very brilliant man, but he had a real sense of humor. I'd love to have seen his face when he went through some of these mechanics. I think he's a ham actor if there ever was one. And I think he was greatly amused when he did this. Will you listen to him? Verse 3, "Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee baggage for removing, and move by day in their sight, and thou shalt move from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy baggage by day in their sight as baggage for removing, and thou shalt go forth at evening in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight and carry out through it." I want to tell you, this is a good one. Here's what he does. He goes into his house, and the houses then were right on the street, by the way. So he's to dig through the wall. And he's to pack his baggage as if he's going on a trip. And so he packs all of his baggage, and he digs through the wall, and he comes up out in the street. And you can imagine the effect that would have. Here comes a man through a wall and bringing his suitcase with him. And people stop. Now, digging up in the street's not new. The city here plays a game with all of us. They dig up one street, and then you say, "I'm going to be smart and go down another street." So the next day, they find out where you are going, and they go and dig up that street for you. So that it's quite a puzzle. We go through a maze through Pasadena, digging up streets. So it's nothing new here. But I have a notion in that day, when this man Ezekiel comes up out there in the street with his suitcase, people are going to stop and ask a question. Where are you going? What's the big idea? Well, do you know what the message was? We find here, verse 8, "In the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou?" He says, now, he says, "Ezekiel, I want you to tell them what you were doing. Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them, say, I'm your sign. As I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall move and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out through it. He shall cover his face, and he shall see not the ground with his eyes." Now, Zedekiah was in Jerusalem on the throne, and the false prophets among the people here where Ezekiel, where they were saying, they said, now look here, Nebuchadnezzar's made two sieges of Jerusalem, and he's carried away captives, but he did not destroy the city, and he did not burn the temple, and he did not execute the king. Therefore, we're going to be going back before long. Don't worry. Now, Ezekiel says, I have news for you. What I've done is what's happening over yonder in Jerusalem. The king over there, the prince, that's Zedekiah, he thinks he's clever. He's going to slip out of the city during the siege. But he's not. And he's not going to see the ground. You know why he didn't see the ground? Go back and read the record. The history says that Nebuchadnezzar put out his eyes. This fella was deceptive. He was wicked. And actually, he had broken his treaty with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, was more honorable than God's man on the throne over there. And that, my friend, hurts the church today, I think, as much as anything. A dishonest Christian, especially a layman that is active in the Lord's work, and then in the business world, he doesn't have too much of a reputation. Now, that was Zedekiah, and this was a hard message. This was a bitter pill for those captives to swallow when the false prophets had said, it's so wonderful outside. Now, what he's saying is this, the full captivity of the people is at hand. And therefore, he's told next here, verse 17, and again we have it, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with anxiety. Now, that's quite a stunt he's going to pull. He brings his table out in the street, and he sits there, and he's trembling as he eats. And then people come and says, what's the matter with you? Having a chill? Or is this something that you ate? And he said, no. I want you to know what's happening over yonder in Jerusalem. There's famine over there. There's fear over there. God is destroying that city. That's what I want you to know. What a tremendous message, you see, that this was that he's giving. Now, we have here, in this next one, he says in verse 22, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? They're saying, why, Jeremiah was wrong, and Ezekiel's wrong, and you can see we're still in the land. The thing that Ezekiel is saying, I want you to know, God says that he's been patient, but it's all up now. And the thing that's going to happen is that the captivity is coming, and God's not going to wait any longer. Verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I've spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And my friend, you can write it down. I know it's not popular today. Everybody wants to say that it's going to be beautiful out yonder in front. The only beautiful thing out yonder in front is the fact that one of these days the Lord Jesus will take his church out of the world. And that's the only hope we have. This world's not going to get better. And we're not going to have peace. Oh, we've had intervals of it, as I gave the other day, of recorded history. There have already been 5,000 wars. There was only in the entire history of the human race, there's been only 200 or 300 years of what could actually be called peace in the world. And man today is not building a new world as he thinks that he is. Now, this continues. When we get here to chapter 13, we find that we have a prophecy now against these false prophets, these pseudo-prophets and prophetesses. And by the way, the women now brought in, they were all getting involved in this. And women always get mixed up. Oh, I ought not to say this, but I'm going to have to say it. Women get mixed up in cults and isms. Have you ever noticed the number of cults and isms that have been founded by women, or the woman plays a very prominent part in it? And I know that's not popular to say that, but we're going to have that in this chapter here. Now again, he's still giving the word of the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets. Now, what was their problem? They were prophesying out of their own hearts. And God have mercy on a man that stands in the pulpit and spends his time giving his viewpoint. and not giving the Word of God, if he can't back it up with the Word of God. Now, some of us make mistakes in interpretation. You know, I think sometimes I make a mistake. I do. But let's be clear. We're trying to interpret the Word of God. And I notice when I mess it, I have plenty of folk that let me know that I'm wrong. But the important thing, friend, is to give the Word of God. These men were giving what they thought. They were giving out how to make friends, influence people, and the power of positive thinking, and you can do it yourself. You should be self-reliant. You're a wonderful individual. You're not a sinner. And that was the message, you see, that was going out by the false prophets. They were attempting to say that everything is all right in Jerusalem. Now will you notice verse 17 here? Likewise, thou son of man, and notice this, set thy face against the daughters of thy people who prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. You'll resist them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew amulets upon all their wrists, make handkerchiefs for the head of every person of stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? Will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? By the way, when it says Nimrod was a great hunter of the Lord, that actually means he was a hunter of the souls of man. And that's what these cults are. They hunt out the souls of men. Now, women were involved in this. Now, actually, what was happening was the same thing that the false prophets were doing. You remember Peter says, there were false prophets also among the people, that is, Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and so on. Now, will you note here at this matter of these women? I'm not going to give this on radio because I'll get in trouble if I do. But I have before me here the list of a half a dozen of the cults today that were started by women. And spiritualism with its mediums and its fortune tellers and necromancers and today witches. We got quite a few here in Southern California, but actually, I've always felt we've had them here a long time. But now they claim that they're witches. And that's what these women were doing. Amulets. They give you a little something to put on your arm. That'll keep you from getting sick. That'll ensure you to have a safe trip. And then these are pillows that they put on their head. Wear something, you know, that some garment, you know. We'll give you a handkerchief. And we prayed over it, and you were just going to get well, by the way, as if there's merit in that and not in the Lord. May I say to you, friends, what you see about you today is never new. It's old as the human race. And these people were engaging in it. Now, Ezekiel denounces it. Now, don't blame me for what Ezekiel did. And don't blame Ezekiel, because he says, the Lord told me to do this, and he's doing it that way. Now we come to chapter 14, and I'll just be able to open the door here to chapter 14. And here again is a message against the idolatrous elders, the officers in Israel, the leaders. I want to tell you that this is an amazing chapter, as we're going to see next time.
Just as there were false prophets in Ezekiel's day, false prophets are everywhere in our culture too. Whenever people try to get in touch with the spiritual without a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're being deceived by evil. The Apostle Paul wrote young Timothy about this. He said to remember there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever wonder what our purpose is for studying the Bible, it's this, that we would know Jesus Christ, the wonder and the beauty and the truth about our Savior. Because Jesus said himself in John 8, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So as much as you can, continue with us on the Bible bus as we travel through God's entire word. We'll be back here tomorrow when we'll get more from the curious book of Ezekiel. If we can help you in the meantime, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or drop us an email at biblebus@ttb.org or visit ttb.org where you can find many terrific resources to help you continue strong in your walk with God. And of course, you can always reach us by mail at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. I'm Steve Schwetz, and for all of us at Through the Bible, we're praying that God blesses and keeps you until we meet again.
Jesus, take it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.